Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When God saw what they did, don't you love it when it starts that way? When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. He did not do it. All three of our readings today talk about the appointed time. All three of our readings today talk about how time has grown short. All three of our readings, from Jonah to St. Paul to the proclamation of Jesus in Mark's gospel, all of our readings today speak of an urgency to redirect one's focus from the things of the world to the things of God. Life on this earth is but a handbreadth, but life in the kingdom of God is forever. The generations need to hear of God's mercy. People need to know that the Lord has not written them off. Simon and Andrew, James and John seemed to figure that out pretty quickly. At Jesus' word, they left their nets and directed their focus to Jesus. They followed him. But have you ever had someone write you off? Have you ever written yourself off? Have you ever felt or been made to feel that you're just not good enough? You haven't worked hard enough, or you've done too many bad things, or there's that one thing you try to put behind you, but it just won't stay back there, and it seems there's no shortage of folks that will bring it up. Our readings today remind us that we humans sometimes refuse to show God's grace and mercy to one another. We humans have a nasty habit of writing people off, of holding a grudge. But our readings also remind us of the lengths that God has gone and does go and will go to save sinners, even those that we've written off, even those who may not know or may not care that they're sinners. And yes, even those who in their disagreement of God's ways run from him. On this third Sunday after the Epiphany, our readings identify mankind's varied responses to God's will and to God's call. Some immediately follow, as did the disciples, while others the Lord must relentlessly pursue. And he does pursue, that he might call them to repentance, that he might forgive them. I like the phrase, it ain't over till it's over. In our gospel reading today, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. God was standing right in their midst. And so, as Jesus had called Philip in last week's reading, so also Jesus called Simon and Andrew and James and John and, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they did. They immediately followed. They left their nets and they followed. They were fishermen by trade, but they would follow where Jesus led, and they would go where he sent them. And as I studied this week, I had to wonder about Jonah. Did it begin that way for him? Was he excited when the Lord called him? Did Jonah also at first eagerly and willingly follow, as did the other disciples? If so, what changed? What changed Jonah's heart? Why did Jonah now disagree with and disapprove of God's will for his life? In our gospel reading today, in our Old Testament reading today, the Lord had sent Jonah to the great city of Nineveh with the same message of repentance that he himself spoke as he came into Galilee, for Nineveh's evil had come up before him. The Gospel of Mark portrays a sense of urgency in speaking the message of repentance, in speaking the message of forgiveness, as if there's no time to waste. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is at hand now. There's no time to waste. The time for God's mercy is now. Folks are leaving this world every hour of every day, and it is the Lord's will that none be lost. For as John the Evangelist has written, this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes shall have eternal life, and he will raise them up on the last day. So also St. Paul has written, but how can they call upon him of whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And the answer is they can't. So Simon and Andrew and James and John immediately followed Jesus that he might make them fishers of men, that mankind might hear through their message and believe. But these are the same things that the devil used to tempt Jonah to turn and run. So instead of becoming a fisher of men, pardon the pun, but Jonah became bait for a fish. For he had devised that, if no one is sent, if no one preaches, if the people of Nineveh never hear, how can they believe? And the answer is they cannot. The people of Nineveh were wicked to the core, let's face it. Their evil was such that it had come up before the Lord's face. And so the Lord sent Jonah to call out to the people of Nineveh, saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overrun. But what if they never got that epiphany? What if that epiphany never came? What if they never got the message? So Jonah boarded a boat that very day, and that boat headed in a different direction. In his mind, it was the perfect plan. The Lord had commanded Jonah to call the people of Nineveh to repentance. The time for Nineveh was fulfilled. The kingdom of God was at hand. The people of Nineveh needed to repent that they may believe the good news. But Jonah seemed to like the idea of a world without Nineveh. Jonah had written off the people of Nineveh, and he wanted God to do the same. He wanted the Lord to follow through with his warning. Why? Why would he do that? Jesus came to fulfill all of God's promise. Well, I figured he was prejudiced. I figured he was just a cranky old guy and he was just prejudiced. But was there more? Jesus came to fulfill all of God's promises. Jesus came to be the salvation of the world. He invites all people to repent, to turn from evil. Jesus died on a cross so that all people might enjoy God's kind rule by living under his grace and under his righteousness. Simon and Andrew and James and John jumped on that opportunity to proclaim God's mercy to the world. But Jonah did not, at least not to Nineveh. And I had to ask myself, why? What was at the heart of his hatred toward Nineveh? That he would try to steal and conceal God's mercy from them. And what made him think he could get away with it? It is said that Jonah was a proud and a self-centered man. He lacked proper respect for God. And it was very obvious that he rejected God's command to love his enemies. But Jonah was also a good patriot. He loved his nation. He loved his people, Israel. His hatred, his disobedience had its roots in fear. In fear that the Ninevites would indeed heed the message, he feared that they would repent and that the Lord would forgive them. Jonah wanted the Lord to write them off. Jonah wanted God to overthrow Nineveh as he had warned. By the time of Jonah, Assyria had for more than two generations oppressed Israel. During the time of Jonah, the kingdom of Israel had suffered continual and probably excessive taxation by Assyria. The people were forced to pay tribute to that pagan nation and their leader. And Jonah feared in his gut that a day was coming when they would indeed destroy his people. And he wasn't too far from being correct. And because Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria at the time, Jonah did not want to do anything that might contribute to these events. In Jonah's mind, it would be better if Nineveh just went away. If Nineveh just kind of went silently into the night. So he ran. As St. Paul has warned, Jonah's interests were divided. His anxiety about worldly things had blinded him to the things of God, to God's will. But the Lord would call him to undivided devotion. He wasn't going to let Jonah go out that way. Have you ever heard the phrase that says, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way? As fishers of men by trade, I wonder if Simon and Andrew and James and John, if their dads ever talked about that, if they had heard of the salvation narrative, and it is a salvation narrative of Jonah, how Jonah was saved by the Lord. When in the midst of a storm, did they ever ponder the great wind that the Lord had hurled upon, and I like that word, that just hurled it upon him, upon Jonah. Had they ever boasted, if you've ever fished, or if you've ever known a fisherman, you know that we kind of brag. We kind of talk up, you know, especially the one that got away, that's the big one. Had they ever boasted that they would, well, what they would do if they ever encountered a fish so big that it was able to swallow a man whole? Surely we wouldn't do it. We would make sure we got the upper hand on that guppy. As they learned the fishing trade from their fathers, as they sat for hours learning the trade of fishing and mending nets, did their fathers take that time to teach them the lessons of Jonah? For their fathers, because it always surprises me that their fathers didn't stop them when they immediately got up and left their nets and followed Jesus. They just let them go. But then there's Jonah, on the other hand, in trying to bend God's will to fit his own will, he chose the hard way. But again, the Lord wouldn't let him go out that way. Jonah had written off the people of Nineveh, but the Lord had not, and the Lord would not. And he will not let anyone or anything obstruct or interfere with or limit his grace towards sinners. And the Lord also was not willing to lose Jonah. He was not willing to let Jonah perish forever in his hatred, in his sin of hatred. So instead of writing Jonah off, the Lord hurled a great wind upon him. A wind that would throw him out of the boat or force others to throw him out of the boat. At the appointed time, the Lord sent a great fish to save Jonah from himself by swallowing him whole. In these things, I hear the Lord Jesus saying to Jonah the very things that he proclaimed as he entered Galilee. For Jonah, the time was fulfilled. The kingdom of God was at hand. What are you going to do, Jonah? Repent and believe. Have you ever considered that there are times in the life of a person, as in the life of Jonah, that God's grace, God's mercy, doesn't always look like it? That it comes sometimes by means of a great wind or a great fish or a great whatever might be going on in your life and you can fill in the blank? Please know that God is for you. God's mercy, God's grace is for you. Even when tossed about or consumed by calamity, the Lord is for you. In confirmation class this week, we were confronted with a question, kind of a two-part question, or two ways of asking the same question, a question about God's grace. And the question was this: where can a person find hope? Coupled with that, how can a person know that God's grace that is given, how can a person know that grace is for them? Some people wrestle with that, with God's grace for them, because, well, they believe they're not good enough to receive God's grace, or someone's convinced them of that. They tell themselves they haven't worked hard enough, or they've done too many bad things, and they just don't deserve God's grace. And then we were able to have that conversation, well, yeah, none of us deserve it, and yet he freely gives it. Or they fear that the Lord won't give them grace. Have you ever had anybody tell you you don't have enough faith? That you have too many doubts? Some fear that because they have so many doubts, the Lord won't give him or give that person his grace. Please don't buy into that. So how does a person know that the grace God offers has been given to them? How do you know that the grace that God offers is given to you? We also talked about how do we know who God is? By what he does. When can you know, or how do you know how God feels about you? By what he does, or what he has done, or what he will do. God cared enough about rebellious Jonah to send a great wind to stop him. A wind that caused him, as I said earlier, to cause him to be hurled out of a boat. And Jonah might be thinking, please don't care about me so much. God cared enough about sinful Jonah that he sent a great fish that Jonah might know that the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. God in his mercy sent calamity upon Jonah that he might not be lost. And then, as Jonah wrote in the verse just prior to our Old Testament reading today, the Lord spoke to that fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. In that moment, as Jonah sat there tired and cold and covered in fish vomit, he must have been quite a sight. I see some people going, ew, right? But the Lord didn't go, ew. Because at that moment, he came to believe and understand that even at his worst, and that would be quite a picture of what was going on in his heart, even at his worst, the Lord had not written him off. But he did the hard things to call him. And so with that change of heart and a new attitude that comes from knowing the Lord's mercy firsthand, even when it comes the way it came to Jonah, Jonah proclaimed to every corner of Nineveh, saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He was glad he wasn't in the belly of that fish, but he kind of still liked the sound of that warning. He wasn't quite convinced yet that they were good enough to have a second chance. But praise be to God, it didn't matter what he thought. God had not written off the people of Nineveh, and he has not written you off. Some of the folks in our readings, well, they chose the easy route. And some, like Jonah, chose the hard route. But here's the thing about God's mercy. None of them deserved it. None of them deserved his grace, and yet he gave it. They got to see God's wrath turned into grace. They got to see God's vengeance turned into mercy. How can you know that God's grace that has been freely given is offered to you? Look at what he does. Look at the cross. Look at what he's done. He has borne our grief. He has borne your grief. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment, well, that we deserve, he received. And in exchange, he's given you and I peace with God. And borrowing words from Jonah, tweaking them just a little bit. And when God saw that, when he saw his son hanging on that cross, he relented of the disaster that he said he would do to you and to me. And he did not do it. Look at what he has done for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.